Welcome to World Cafe, Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Spoon joined us today with conversation with Britt Daniel and Jim Eno from the band, and live performance recorded in front of an audience at our affiliate KUT in Austin, Texas. Their new album is called Transference, and it is at the end of a remarkable string of releases for the band that formed in 1993, including 2002's Kill the Moonlight, 2005's Gimme Fiction, and 2007's Ga 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 Ga. The 2000s were very good for the band. In fact, they were recently recognized as the best-reviewed band of the decade by Metacritic. We'll start things off with a performance of Written in Reverse, a song from Transference.
Standing here, oh, wow, not standing, and I'm right. there's nothing there. There's nothing there. I want to show you how I love you. I can see you blankly stare. All right.
That's written in reverse. Spoon playing live for us today on the cafe, and that's one of the ones from Transference. That and I guess Got Nuffin' were the first things we heard. But we heard Got Nuffin' a long, long time ago. Tell me about the decision to put that out, sort of out in the middle of, it wasn't even actually at that point called from the new Spoon album.
Yeah, I think we just wanted to put out a freestanding single because we hadn't put anything out in a while, and because singles are cool and it's fun to put them out, and B-sides are cool. And we didn't really know whether or not we were going to end up putting it on the album. In the end, it seemed like it fit pretty good.
Metacritic website crunched the numbers and decided that Spoon was the best reviewed band of the decade, bar none. You guys got pretty good reviews right off the bat, although I guess people didn't actually originally buy the first couple of albums, right?
Well, the first record didn't get great reviews. There were some good reviews, but I remember, for the most part, we didn't feel very warmly welcomed by the typical Matador Records fan. You know, it came out on Matador, and we thought maybe that would, and all our favorite bands were on Matador, and we thought, you know, this would be great, then we'll appeal to those listeners, and you know. There was no cooler label in the world, you know, at that point.
Right.
Or maybe there still isn't. But yeah, it didn't go that way.
But how does that feel, though, to realize that, you know, over the decade and all the albums you put out during that period of time? I guess, you know, the reason why I was thinking about that is you look at a band that kind of built, which is what you guys did, because obviously together for 7 years before the decade even came about, and kind of working at it. And then you have a band that kind of began at the beginning of the decade, like the Strokes, had a huge album and never really kind of matched that. Is there an advantage to the long haul?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I always say that one advantage is that we appreciate all the little steps of success along the way. And it's a thrill every time there's a new step, selling a few more records or playing to a few more people or getting to play on Saturday Night Live. You know, that was something that at the beginning of the decade nobody ever would have dreamed we would be doing, you know.
Here's some more performances from Spoon and, I understand, Mystery Zone up next.
Yeah.
Ooh, and the mystery zone. all it needs is to know that the sun don't set on the mystery zone.
Mystery Zone with a with the ending that we can imagine from the album. That's one of the tracks on the album that kind of gets cut off. You guys just decided it was long enough.
That is exactly what happened. Yes,
we ran out of tape.
No, yeah. We did decide it was long enough. There was a longer ending to it that kind of just went on, and you can hear that version on the LP. But for the main version, you know, for the CD and for the digital, we. Yeah, it had gone on long enough. There wasn't any more content lyrically. It was just kind of some scat singing.
I wanted to talk a little bit about lyrics and this whole intentional found kind of things. For instance, we heard Written in Reverse, and it's, you know, that high school popper phrase just kind of sticks out as being kind of a perfect description of what you're talking about. That Britt, do you steal things from conversation, or where do lyrics come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good place. When I hear something funny come up in a conversation, I'll jot it down, or maybe text myself or something so I won't forget. That's not where the poppers one came from. I think that just was pure inspiration.
Is being open and sort of easily gotten a priority for you, or do you like a little mystery?
In terms of lyrics?
Yeah.
Well, I think both ways can work well, but for me, you know, it's a little easier, or maybe it feels a little classier to leave a few things open to interpretation. You know, I'd rather not. You know, somebody like Jonathan Richman can be very, very direct about what he's singing about in very specific circumstances, and there's a real charm to that and the way that he does it. But that's not, I've never, he has a real gift for that, you know. I usually don't do so good when I'm trying to beat something over somebody's head with it, you know, so I'd rather leave it a little bit open to interpretation.
Another thing you do is use sort of lyrics as kind of mantras, a lot of repetition of things. Is that you just fall in love with the way a lyric sounds?
I think that's a big part of what a lyric is for, is the way that it sounds, and you know, the colorful language, or just the rhythm, or the syllables. You know, all that is extremely important, and sometimes it can be enough.
Can we just for a semi for a sec go back to the beginning? And I don't think I've ever had this conversation with you and Jim about how you two actually met, because you were going to school, and Jim, what were you doing?
I was working.
I was going to school, and I think I was in an audio production class. We were recording my band, it was the band that I was in. I wouldn't say it was my band, this band, the Alien Beats. And we had been playing with this drummer who kind of he wasn't so good at playing a shuffle. And we kind of fancied ourselves a slightly rockabilly or country band. So we brought this guy in just for this recording session. That was Jim. And I was just impressed that he could, you know, we played through the song once or twice, and he knew immediately where all the stops were. You know, I wasn't used to playing with drummers like that.
And Jim, what had you been doing?
Well, I was working and playing in other bands, but I had met the guitar player in that band, who is a mutual friend of ours, and come on in for a recording session, basically, is what they asked.
That was pretty gutsy, Jim.
Yeah?
We've got time for one more. What would you guys want to finish up with?
How about I summon you?
Ah, we move back.
Remember the way to the world, it's the sound that we used to buy on cassette and 45. And now this little girl, she says, will we make it at all? 800 miles is the drive. You got the way to the world coming down like a mother's eye. And all that you can, all that you can give is a cold goodbye. The law enforcement's impressed to survive to this age. Strapped up soldiers, they'll lock you in a cage with that goodbye. Bar a nickel bribe. Impressed you survived to this age, strapped up soul.
Summon you here, my love.
Great performances today from Spoon. That is I Summon You, finishing up our session. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. To hear more of our sessions, they are all up in streaming audio at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.